of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Hello, my name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Daniel.
And welcome to another episode of The Power of Us. Today, it is our pleasure to welcome Emily Miller with Isaiah 117 House.
Thank you
for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is an exciting thing that we get to learn about.
Yes.
So what is your background? How did you wind up at Isaiah 117?
Yes. So I am a pastor's daughter. So I have been a part of ministry and serving most of my life.
A PK.
Yes, correct. and so I've always just kind of had a heart for people and for those who need help and care. And I was living in Utah a year ago and was kind of in between jobs and just seeking what the next step was. And I have a cousin that works with Isaiah 117 House in Indiana. So I went to visit her and she took me through the home there in Indianapolis, and I walked through and was just overcome with emotion. I could feel the Holy Spirit in that place, and to see and hear about what they were doing in that community was really just amazing, and didn't know what God was going to do with that. I went home and just kind of sat with it a little bit, and one step after another, he led me to Texas. So,
Welcome to Montgomery County.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I love it here, and it's really just been affirmed one thing after another. This is where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's been an incredible journey.
That's a great story.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about Isaiah 117 House. Tell us about your mission.
Yes. So I'll kind of start a little bit how it got started. So Our founder is Rhonda Paulson, and she's in Tennessee. And in 2014, she was going through foster care classes with her husband, and they ended up at the Department for Children's Services office, and they were showing them around and saying, this is where children come when they're removed from their home. And she looked around at the conference room and she said, when you say this is where they're coming, you don't actually mean here, right? Mm-hmm. And the man said, a child slept on this conference room floor last night, mm-hmm. a six-year-old girl. And she kind of sat with that and thought, this isn't how this should be. This isn't what God intended for these children. And so fast forward to 2017, and she opened the first Isaiah 117 House in Carter County, Tennessee. And now fast forward to 2025, and we have homes all over the country in 13 states and about 60 homes. So we got to be house number 30 here in Montgomery and Walker County is where we serve. And that's kind of how things got started with what we're doing. So if you think about when a child is taken from their home, reasons such as abuse or neglect, it's what we call removal day. And on removal day, they're taken from the home and they go and sit and wait until someone says yes to them for a foster placement. So sometimes that can be hours and sometimes that can be days. And like I said, they were going to an office. That's what that looked like. The caseworkers don't have resources at the office. There are caseworkers that have had to fill a cooler filled with water to try to give a child a bath. Kids will come in needing a bath, having lice, needing to be fed, not having clothes that fit. Many come without shoes.
They need everything.
They need it all because they're just pulled from their home, and a lot of them don't have anything of their own to begin with. Mm-hmm. So they were going to sit in an office in that condition, and the caseworkers didn't have the resources to help. So what we do is we have a beautiful home in Montgomery County, and the children and their caseworkers come to our home on removal day. And we have over 90 certified volunteers, background checked and fingerprinted, and they come in and they serve those kiddos in the home. They come in and we bathe them. We have giggles in the bathtub with all the bubbles, all the bath toys. If they want to swing at 2 a.m., we're out on the playset doing that if that's what's going to reduce their trauma. So we really just love on those kiddos in that time, that in-between time until they're able to find placement. So really, we have a three-part mission, and it's to reduce trauma for children on removal day, and then to lighten the load of the caseworker. So the caseworkers will come in after a long day and need love and need care and need someone to hear what their day was like. So we're feeding them, we're giving them coffee, get them through the night. We're caring for them. Then also we want to
this help. Happens at all hours of the day.
Yes. We've got middle of the night. 24 hours a day, 365. They can call if they have a child in need, and we'll get to the house within 30 minutes and be there to serve those kiddos. And then another big part of our mission is to help that foster family, that placement that says yes. So we'll send every child out the door with a duffel bag full of a week's worth of clothes, all the cosmetics and shampoo, conditioner, all the things, toys. We send a Bible with every child, games, anything that they could want or need. We try to send out the door to help that foster family in that first week, because many of them are going out at 3 a.m. to Walmart to get diapers and things like that.
Wow.
Is there an age range?
Yeah. So it's any child that's in the foster care system, which can be birth until they age out at 18.
It's just children, correct?
Correct.
And what is the time frame that they are allowed to stay with you guys?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, it can be a few hours up to a few days, because we're noticing some of the older children or ones with special needs take longer for someone to say yes to them. So usually about up to 72 hours is kind of when they go into the next stage of more long-term care with the state, which a lot of times looks like going to a hotel for long periods of time. So we really just try to be that, start them off, give them what they need, and then they transition either to a home or to longer term care.
And what kind of volunteers are you looking for? What would a volunteer do?
Yeah, so it's someone with a heart to serve and a heart for kids. And like I mentioned, we do the background check and fingerprinting and everything. And we train them on trauma-informed care. We train them on who we are. We call it red door culture. All of our homes have a red door. And so it's who we are and what we do and how we serve, so that they have all the tools in their toolbox to serve these kiddos that come in.
Is it only from the state that you're receiving children, or is it outside of, you know, the state?
Yeah, so in general, it's we're serving this community. Mm-hmm. So we work closely with the Conroe CPS office. Mm-hmm. And then also we have, so because right now we are the only open Isaiah 117 house in this region, all of the Houston region and around, we've had kiddos come from Galveston, from Liberty, from kind of all over right now, because we're the only resource like this. There is a home that's being built in Brazoria County, so down in Pearland. They should be open this year. And then we're looking for land in the Fort Bend County area for another home. So if anyone knows of land in Fort Bend, let us know.
Land in Fort Bend.
Land in Fort Bend. Yes. So we will have, and down the road, we're looking at a Harris County home as well, to kind of spread that help.
Yeah, you need a lot of those homes.
Yes, we do.
Just in this region, I imagine.
All over. I mean, all over the country. Yes, which we're seeing them pop up all over.
How many kids are you serving at a time?
Yeah, so we just opened the end of January. And so since then, we've seen 29 kiddos come through the home at different times. We'll have sibling sets sometimes, or just one at a time. So it just depends on the how often they're removing, and then also training those caseworkers to do something different than they've always done. So we're spending a lot of time at the CPS office just loving on them. We took a Kona Ice shaved ice truck to them one day at their office, just to show them we love them and we're coming alongside them. We want them to come to the home for more care and love when they need it. So it's right now we're trying to ramp that up, and we're seeing it get a little bit more busy, but then there'll be a lull here and there. So we're still ramping that up. Since we've opened, it's usually a slower start.
New.
We are, yes.
How big is the home?
So we have a nice big open area, living room. We kind of have sectioned off into two areas for younger children and older. And then we have a girl's bedroom, a boy's bedroom. And then our upstairs is what we call our giving room. And that's where we have all of the things that have been donated, brand new items that we pack those duffel bags for the kiddos that come through. And then we have a separate side that's called our visitation reunification space where families that are working towards reunification mm-hmm. can meet there instead of a crazy McDonald's or a mm-hmm. CPS office where there's a few broken toys and that's all they've got to offer kind of thing. They have a nice quiet space. There's a full bathroom in there with a bathtub so moms can give those babies a bath during their visit. There's a couch that pulls out, a small kitchenette over there as well. So we can also use that space as overflow. So if we have a family of four on one side and we get another call for maybe a teenage girl, we can close that off, lock that off, and have two separate living spaces used at that time.
So this is a purpose-built home.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Because you've got some special adaptations that you need
exactly.
for this service.
Yes. We actually have a construction manager on staff in Tennessee at our resource center with Isaiah 117, and they have a very specific floor plan. And even as we're growing and learning things, they're adapting that floor plan to change and meet needs as needed as well. So it's pretty amazing.
Tell us about the process of being able to stay at the Isaiah 117 home. How does that work? The state or CPS social worker call you and
yeah.
What is the process?
Yeah, so when a caseworker removes a child from a home, we have what we call gatekeepers. So there are a couple of supervisors that we work directly with, and the caseworkers can call the gatekeeper and say, can I go to the Isaiah 117 house? We have an on-call phone. There are three staff members at our location, and every week we are switching that phone. So one of us has that 24/7, 365. So that gatekeeper then calls us and says, is the home available? And if it is, then we say, come on. And we then we have our volunteer schedule. Our volunteers schedule themselves around the clock, 365. So we go in and we see who's on that schedule. And we call those volunteers and say, it's time, get to the house. And within 30 minutes, we should be able to be there with things ready, hopefully cookies in the oven, lights on, just a warm environment for them to walk into.
Wow, that is an amazing story.
Yeah.
What kind of help do you need? What are some gaps that you see that people could help with
yep.
Isaiah 117?
So like I mentioned, when we give those bags to every kiddo that comes through, we're going up to that giving room and we have what we call bins. And we have bin buddies who all of these bins have items. So we organize them by like baby girl, 18 months. And if we have an 18-month baby girl, we're going up, we're pulling outfits from that bin, we're pulling diapers, we're pulling wipes. And we have volunteers who keep up with that inventory. And as those things get low, they'll call these bin buddies who have adopted a bin for at least a year commitment. And they'll say, we need about four more outfits in your bin. Can you bring? And they've committed to keep that full over that year. So we have some blank spaces on our bin buddy list that we could use some bin buddies to adopt a bin and to help us keep that giving room stocked.
And what kind of commitment are you looking at financially for that?
Yeah, so what we see, so that it's not a huge commitment, a lot of times groups will adopt a bin. So maybe a Sunday school class or a Rotary Club or a sewing group or different groups where maybe each of them bring an outfit and the bin is full. So it's a great way to do with a group. Or if a single person does it, they'll bring probably about, I think she says, is it maybe 7 to 10 outfits to start it. Mm-hmm. And then as it, obviously we have different ages, you know, we see more of than others. So like our men's 2-3X, we have some big boys that come through that we need clothes for, but not as often as maybe a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. So those bins, you know, there's not as big of a commitment. It's just kind of as the need is, we call and say what we need to fill that bin back up. So it just kind of depends, but I wouldn't say it's a huge, huge commitment on any one person to do.
Are there bins designated with age? How do you designate them?
Yeah, so the little babies we do by age, mm-hmm. and then it kind of goes by size. So we have a girl's side and a boy's side, mm-hmm. All the way from, you know, extra small, the toddlers all the way up through. We do extra large women's and men's sizes for those kiddos that come through that are a little bit bigger. So we've got all of those. We've got ones like shampoo, we've got diapers, we've got even some of the big ones like car seats or things like that. So really anyone who wants to get involved can go and look at that list and choose what fits for them.
And how would someone, if they were interested, how would they find out about you and and sign up to volunteer or donate?
Yep. So we have a website. It's actually a Linktree site where we have all the links of everything about our home, all of our needs, and that I can give that website. Maybe we can post it on something.
Please. Absolutely.
That would be great. And then someone can go and see what the needs are. We have an Amazon wish list where you can go and you can purchase an item and it ships directly to our front door.
That's very convenient.
Yes. And we're updating that daily as the needs come in and things like that. We also have a sign up for if you want to be a volunteer. We have a Bin Buddy link on there where they can see which bins are empty and they need to, you know, pick their bin on that site. So there's all everything about our site, our Facebook page, our Instagram, all of that is on our Linktree page that we can share.
Is it on your website, everything?
Yes. So if you go to Isaiah117house.com, that is going to be our national organization site. Right. And then if you go to locations, you can see all the different locations and find us that way as well on the Texas one.
The items that you collect, are they strictly new, gently used?
Yes. So we do only accept brand new items. Okay. And a big reason for that is because a lot of these kiddos have never had brand new items. Yeah. So there's a story in one of our open homes where a child got a pair of shoes from our home and there was a tag on them and the volunteers were about to pull that tag off. And they said, no, I've never had a tag before. So they kept the tag on the shoes. Yeah. So for them to realize that they're worthy of brand new is huge. So we do only accept and give brand new items. Yeah.
So what other stories do you have that are, you know, you're seeing it? I know you're new, only, you know, 8 months or so, but what are some stories that you're seeing where really like, wow, this is really making an impact?
Yes. So we have 29 kids that have come through and 29 stories. They are all life-changing. Just to be a part of their story on that day and to see the house work to remove trauma, to reduce trauma on that day is huge. So I'll just share even our very first group that came through was a sibling set of four. There was a big sister and three littles. And they came in that door and we knew that big sister had acted like mother to these kids probably most of her life, if not her whole life. And they came in and the younger ones were wild and crazy and they wanted to pull out all the toys. And this was like late night. I think it was after midnight at this point. And so they just got fired up and had all the energy and there was chaos and toys everywhere. And it was great. And big sister kind of stepped back from that caretaker role kind of quickly. But she sat in a chair and kind of watched and we offered her some chicken nuggets and she wanted some chicken nuggets. She wanted to play with some slime. She wanted to talk to the volunteers and the staff. And
she was checking the place out.
Yes.
Making sure it was safe.
And trying to let herself be a kid, I think, as well. Just enjoying what we had to offer and enjoying the adult fellowship, I think, too.
Yeah.
And after a little while, I noticed that she had disappeared. We had given her some PJs. We had given her a toothbrush. And she had gone in the bathroom and had brushed her teeth and got ready for bed. And then she didn't come back out. And again, the chaos was happening in that living room with all the toys and everything. And so I was kind of curious and I went around the corner and I peeked in the girl's bedroom and she had laid on the bed and she had her eye mask over her face and she was laying in bed, clutching her blanket that she brought from home, covered up with a brand new blanket that we had given her. And she was out. She was just peaceful and she was sleeping. And just to see that the house reduced trauma for her in a way where she could step back and rest and know that her siblings were being cared for was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we're seeing every time.
It's great.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
This happens all the time.
Well, I understand. I mean, that family that we had in our home, just to kind of continue their story. The next day, we heard that big sister was going to be placed first and alone.
Oh.
And so again, this is our very first situation in the home. And I'm there as the staff member trying to, you know, hold it together for everyone.
This is the first situation you
were. Very first family.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And we had heard stories of this kind of thing, siblings mm-hmm. getting separated, but to experience it and after seeing her with her siblings, it was hard. And so I remembered that another home had told us about get a Polaroid camera. We're not allowed to take photos yep. ourselves, but for when siblings are separated, we can do Polaroid pictures, get them right then and send them with the kids. Mm-hmm. That could be the last photo they ever have together. So I remembered we had this Polaroid camera and I said to Big Sister, do you want pictures with your siblings? And she at that point was sobbing. Yeah. And she said, yes. And so we all gathered those kids. And let me tell you again, chaos ensued. She grabs baby sister and she's sitting on the couch holding her, just sobbing. And she's trying to smile through those yeah. big crocodile tears. And I'm just snapping away just to try to get as many pictures as I can. And we're throwing brothers on the couch and they're flopping all around. And I'm just snapping wow. away. And we put them on the table and her and I are waiting for them to come into view. And I'm pointing out, look how silly brother's being. Yeah. And she's laughing yeah. through her sobs. And I said, do you want to give any of them to any of them? And she said, yeah, I want to give this one to him. And she had doled them all out. And I said, well, you need to have some. I was like, do you want to keep them? And then she's like crying and said, yes. And I said, well, you just take all of them. So I got her wow. a little Ziploc bag and she got all eight of those pictures. Mm. And we don't know if that's going to be the last yeah. time she sees her siblings, but I hope that those Polaroid pictures bring her hope yeah. down the road, that maybe one day they can be reunited.
You hope they can reconnect.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So to be a part of those moments, and she left and went out the door, and I told the volunteers, I just need a minute. And I went yep. in the bathroom and I cried my own tears and I came out to keep going and to keep loving on those siblings that were still in the home. So that's just one example. Wow. But these kiddos are changing our lives as we're there to change their lives. It's impacting all of us. So volunteers, their lives are being changed. Yeah. So I would encourage anyone to come be a volunteer in our home.
Remind me next time to have tissues out. It's just a touching story. And I think for me, I am, you know, the eldest of eight. So I, in my mind, I'm visualizing, you know, having to leave my siblings. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And these children, they're suffering. And someone, an organization like Isaiah 117 House is providing such needed tools for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a safe place.
Yes.
Because they may not have had a safe place
right.
until they ended up with you guys.
Yes.
And I think that that is just tremendous and wonderful what you guys are providing for these children.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I this is my first time learning of Isaiah 117 House, and this is why the power of us exists, to shine a light on organizations like you guys that may not get a huge spotlight.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything that the power of us can do to help Isaiah House 117? Oh, Isaiah 117 House.
Yes. So again, the bin buddies would be huge. We also have what we call sock buddies. Those are our monthly givers. So many people give a one-time gift, which is wonderful and helpful, but those sock buddies that are saying they will commit to give monthly, that's what sustains our home, because we know what's coming in. We know we can afford to keep the lights on and to pay the internet and to pay the, you know, all the different things. So our sock buddies are a real need, just for people to come alongside us and to commit to giving monthly. And then being a volunteer is always something that would be great. Another thing that I do want to mention, we have a golf tournament coming up September 22nd at Walden on Lake Conroe.
Oh, great course.
Yes, right on the water. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we are looking for players. We're looking for sponsors for that tournament. That's a big way that we bring in fundraising funds for our year ahead.
What is your annual budget?
Yeah, so we have a budget of $175,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And the way that our organization functions is we have to have that $175,000 at the end of the year to cover the next year. So we know we're going to have the doors open and the lights on for a year each time, the start of the year. So
is there anything that we haven't asked you that you feel like everyone needs to know?
Yeah, I think we've really gotten into it well. I do think that people just don't know what happens on removal day.
Yeah.
And that's when a kiddo could be at school getting ready to get on the bus to go home, and there's a police officer and a man they don't know at the bus saying, "You've got to come with us instead." Mm. And they're wondering, "What did I do wrong?"
Yeah.
And they end up in an office, and they're thinking, "Office usually means I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming into the situation thinking it is their fault. We had another sibling set where big sister came in with her arms crossed. Her face was puffy. We found out that the mom was accusing her of it being her fault as they were pulling away.
No.
So that's what they're carrying. They don't understand. They're hurt. They're confused. And they were going to sit in an office for up to a few days.
Yeah.
But now, because of Isaiah 117 house in this community, they're able to come to our home. And we can love on them, and we can bathe them, and we can feed them. And if they want to cook, if that's what reduces trauma, they give us a list and we go and buy all the supplies for them to cook.
Wow.
We had a boy that came in, and for 3 days straight, he cooked up a storm.
Really?
He challenged our staff member to a burger cook-off, and he made gourmet burgers. His dad was a chef.
Wow.
And that's what he wanted to be. And he blew the socks off of our staff member, just making that amazing burger. And his joy, what reduced his trauma, was cooking and serving others. And so we give them a space to do that in our home if that's what it looks like for them. And then to also be able to love on those caseworkers is just a joy, because we didn't come to town because they're not doing their job. We came to town because they're doing an impossible job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we want them to know they're not alone.
You're definitely filling a gap that they badly need.
Yes. We had one of the caseworker leaders tell us recently, we needed this years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to change everything for us.
For decades.
Yes.
Needed that.
Would it be allowable if, say, like my daughter, she's a phenomenal cook.
Yeah.
Do you guys invite people to just come in and cook a meal for your kids?
Yeah. How does that work? People that come into the home while children are in the home do have to be certified volunteers.
Okay.
So we have volunteer training.
For safety issues.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And background checked and fingerprinted and all the things.
Okay.
But we, like, for instance, I mentioned that we help the family that says yes to the child. So we have a freezer upstairs where we have a bin buddy group that has adopted this freezer, and they keep that full of frozen meals. And so when we send the child out the door, if the family could use a meal, we send a meal with that child out the door for the foster family's first week of having them. So we definitely... I always tell everyone, if you want to be involved, we'll find a place for you to serve.
Yeah.
So if your daughter's an amazing cook, there's also CWAP, which is Children Without Placement. So that longer term, the ones that don't get a family that says yes, are in that longer term a lot of times in a hotel. And a couple weekends ago, we were feeding lunch and dinner to one of these children all weekend long. So there's always opportunities to serve kiddos in long-term care or in the home. So yes, we would find a place for her to serve.
Great.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yes.
This has been eye-opening.
Yes.
Obviously.
we thank you for your time and what this organization does for the community. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Yes. I'm honored to be a part of it and glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. If you or someone you know may be in need of this organization's service, please feel free to reach out. We'll have the information on our screen. Thank you for tuning in today. Do not forget to like, follow, and share our page. And we appreciate your time. Thank you.